Speaking of the blood of Jesus, take your Bible, please. Turn to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, where our scripture reading was just a moment ago. Last Sunday, I announced that I was going to be giving a series of messages, I don't know how many, on different ideas, different decisions that I would like you to consider making in your life from a very practical standpoint. Some of the material and what I'll give over the next several weeks, I got from Kerry Schmidt, Dr. Kerry Schmidt, my good friend, and his book, Live Lighter and Love Better. So if you wanted to read his excellent book on this topic, I highly recommend that Pastor Kerry Schmidt. That is available from Striving Together Publications. But some of the ideas I've taken from his book, I felt that it was so practical, something that we all should consider. Last week, we considered the concept of paring back our frenetic lifestyle. In other words, we're doing too much, we're going too fast, we're trying to do everything, ultimately doing nothing. I found as pastor, when I get into that kind of mode, you say, well, Pastor Monty, you need to cover all the bases. Yes, you cover them all, cover none of them well. Well, Pastor Monty, you've got to make everybody happy. Let me tell you something, at that point, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy, nobody's satisfied, especially not my wife. And I have to keep the home fires burning the best I possibly can in my position. So I've understood that there are times in my life when I simply pull back from things that I view as unimportant. That has to happen. When you're in the ministry, a pastor sets his agenda for the ministry. Some people think the pastor should be simply a hospital chaplain. Other people think he should be an on-call social worker. Some think that he should be a full-time counselor. The Bible doesn't describe me in any of those terms, and so I have to set an agenda that is appropriate for ministry. And then those other areas we fill with folks that we bring on who can assist in some of those areas. They're vital, but they're not everything that I can do. In that same way of thinking, you as well have to choose what is important. And then you prioritize your time, and then you pull back from some of the extracurricular things that are not as important. And so last week, I encouraged you to make a decision simply to rest with a special emphasis of use Sunday as a day of rest. Use Sunday as a day of rest. It used to be that, of course, the public schools and sport leagues did not have sports on Sunday out of deference to the Christian faith. I actually believe that if every evangelical in America simply pulled their kids out of those programs, we'd return to that kind of thinking in America, and certainly in the state of Indiana. Unfortunately, that will not happen, but I think it is important to have a day set aside for rest and worship that is not just a principle of the Old Testament law. It is a principle that began on the very day of creation. It involves our entire physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional constitution. And so I encourage that. But today there's a different topic, a different decision that I want to encourage. Look, if you will, at Ecclesiastes 3, verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season. Those of you who are older, now myself very firmly included in that category today, although I'm a young old. How many are a young old? Amen. Keep thinking that way. Keep thinking that way no matter what the mirror tells you. It's lying to you. Those are not wrinkles. They are stress marks. And I'm a young old, but I can certainly admit to this, that I've found that there are seasons in life. Those of us who are more further down the pathway of life understand that there are seasons. In other words, there are different time periods that are in our lives, and some of those time periods are time periods of great excitement and blessing. Others of them can be kind of dark and cloudy and stormy. And the time periods, the older we get, the further down the road we get, those time periods change. And the scripture teaches that we're to be a people of joy and contentment, fulfillment and satisfaction throughout every season of life. Now, someone will say, Pastor Monty, I'm going through a particularly difficult season. I'll address that in a moment. That doesn't exempt us from having and manifesting joy. Joy is possible in the midst of sorrow if I learn some secrets that, by the way, are Bible secrets to embracing the season of life in which I find myself. Joy and fulfillment in life depends largely on your expectations. Okay, I want to really zero in on the concept of expectations. The Bible tells us to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. And every one of us has certain expectations that we have about life. We have an expectation for today. We have an expectation for this week. How many watched the weather and heard it's going to snow again in the middle of the week? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Oh, 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 oh. Listen, listen, listen. Embrace it. Don't fight against it. You can do nothing about it. Don't put away your winter coat yet. Embrace it. Pretend you love it. Walk out in the midst of it and say, this is the glory of heaven sprinkling down upon me. Just because it's going to be gone in a couple weeks, okay? It'll be all over with in a couple weeks. But we have expectation. When we build expectations that are unrealistic, we set ourselves up for disappointment. Unrealistic expectations produce disappointment. For example, this, that my life should be perfect without ever having a bump in the road. Okay, I don't know where people get this idea. Former generations never understood this to be so. But the idea today is that everything should be perfect. There should be an immediate answer to everything. Every problem that we face should be immediately fixable with no real effort on our part. Just spend a little money and it's taken care of. The idea somehow that God is a heavenly waiter who is only there to serve us at our beck and call and to make sure that we have a pleasant dining experience all the way through life is a guaranteed way of disappointment. Because our God brings us through some seasons of life that are difficult, and He does so for our own benefit. Some of us have unrealistic expectations. That produces disappointment. Realistic expectations about the seasons of life help us, and here's the key, to embrace the present moment. To embrace the present moment. Now, this is something that is so vital because there are some among us who are looking forward to a time when things are better. And so we have this idea, you know, Pastor Monty, I'm so excited. I've got 3 years till retirement. Oh, Pastor Monty, that calendar moved. I've got 2 years till retirement. Pastor Monty, 1 year till retirement. Oh, all of a sudden I'm there. I'm retired. We had these huge expectations, and then we wake up, and we realize we have nothing to do. Well, I could mow the lawn. No, you can't. It hasn't grown yet. What can I do? And all of a sudden, that idea of having so much free time, is this not true sometimes? The idea of having so much free time, rather than being a fulfillment, it actually becomes a burden. And how many people do I know that achieved this idea of retirement? They had unrealistic expectations for it, and they didn't know what to do beyond that. And so they went out and they worked at Walmart as a greeter, which they should. It'll get you out of the house. Your wife will thank you if you're out of the house. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through 10 talk about those seasons. Now we're going to go back into that passage and look at it, please, because I want you to notice something very key. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 10. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now notice the first one. A time to be born. That's positive. That's happy. The birth of a child. A time to be born. That's exciting. Uh-oh, look at this. And a time to die. Ooh, that's kind of negative. Pastor Monty, I'm going to live forever. You will if you know Jesus as Savior. You will. But physically, you'll die one day. It is appointed unto man once to die. A time to be born, that's positive. A time to die, that's negative. A time to plant, that's positive. Springtime's coming, and we can plant our tomatoes in our garden. There's nothing negative there. Well, we'll get to that. There might be. A time to pluck up that which is planted. Fall time comes, you have to clean up the garden and pull up all that stuff. That's negative. A time to kill, that sounds negative in most cases. And a time to heal, that's positive. A time to break down, that's negative. A time to build up, that's positive. A time to weep, that's negative. A time to laugh, that's positive. A time to mourn, that's negative. A time to dance, that's positive, unless you're a Baptist. Verse number 5, a time to cast away stones. I pondered over this one when I was studying this. Because I thought, is that negative or positive? There's a time to gather stones and a time to cast away stones. And I came to the conclusion that it depends on what you're doing with the stones. Okay, so it can go either way on either case. If you're casting stones and throwing them at people, I imagine that's negative. If you're gathering stones to build a fire pit to roast marshmallows and make s'mores, that would be positive. Then it says in verse number 5, a time to embrace, that's positive. A time to refrain from embracing, that's negative. A time to get, I imagine that's positive. A time to lose, certainly that's negative. A time to keep, positive. A time to cast away, throw stuff out, certainly that's negative. A time to rend, or in other words, to tear something, that's negative. A time to sow, that's positive. A time to keep silence. All right, to me that's negative. Nothing worse in all the world than when I can't speak. When I have laryngitis, it is so frustrating to me. But I suppose some would say it's a positive. A time to keep silence and then a time to speak. Certainly that's positive. A time to love, that's positive. A time to hate, that's negative. A time of war, that's negative. And a time of peace, that's positive. Did you notice something? That every time, and he opens the passage with the word season, that every time or season in life is sprinkled with both positives and negatives. How many notice that? Why, you'd have one or two negatives and then a positive, one or two positives, then a negative. And throughout the entire passage, as he describes the nature of the seasons of life, he essentially says this, that every season has its problems and every season has its blessings. Now, folks, listen carefully. That is why it is absolutely vital to learn how to embrace the place where you are right now without longing for the past or fantasizing about the future, but to say, I'm embracing this very moment with both its positives and its negatives. Because if someone is constantly looking, oh, Pastor Ronnie, oh, back in the day, boy, things were better back in the day. I wish we could just return to the good old days. How many have ever heard people say that? Yeah, I would just like to return to pre-cell phone days, but the good old days. Let's go back to the good old days. Well, all they're doing is thinking about how much better it was back then. May I remind you of something? There were parts of the good old days that weren't all that hot. Isn't it interesting how human nature has a way of taking the rough things, knocking the rough things off of our memory, and we only kind of romanticize about how it used to be. Oh, Pastor Monty, back in the late 20s and the 30s, boy, it was a wonderful time period. That was the Depression. It's even called the Depression. Oh, but back then, we appreciated things, right? You did when you were hungry. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? We have a way of romanticizing what happened in the past. Some of us have the opposite problem. We fantasize constantly about how great the future is going to be. Oh, it's going to be better when I have a new job, when I have a new car, when I have a new house. Boy, if I can just reach this one step, one rung up the ladder more, if I can make one more step in that direction, boy, when I make that step, everything is going to be fantastic. May I suggest for those of us who have come down the road of life a little way, that while achievement has some fulfillment, it does not have ultimate fulfillment, nor does it really make an individual happy. We continue to move. We fantasize about the next move. We plan. We think about the next move. We imagine what it's going to be like when that happens. And then that happens. And there is always involved in accomplishment a twinge of letdown. But both of those habits, thinking about the past and how great the past used to be, or dreaming about the future and how wonderful the future is going to be, both of those habits make a horrible assumption that right now stinks. And that's not a good assumption. Do you know why? Because tomorrow will be right now tomorrow. Did I confuse you? That was too much on Time Change Sunday, wasn't it? You've been contemplating the clock, figuring out what happened to the sunshine. Okay, I understand that. In other words, tomorrow will be tomorrow's today. What today is now, tomorrow's today will be what today is now to today tomorrow. Does somebody follow me? Okay, this is mind-numbing. Okay, I understand. Now, what I'm simply suggesting is this. If I don't love the season of life that I am in right now, If I'm constantly longing for something back there, or constantly projecting, dreaming, and fantasizing about something future, if I cannot love where I'm right now, I am spending my life slowly not enjoying the present moment. And do you know why we do this? It is because we often resist the imperfect circumstances of the now. We resist those rather than embrace them. And when that resistance becomes dominant in our thinking and our character, it clouds the entire day. Or then, Pastor Monty, you don't know what I'm going through. Maybe I don't. But may I suggest that regardless of what any of us is going through, there is in the darkest season something we can enjoy. Let's use the Bible word for a moment, seasons. The springtime, help me, congregation. April showers bring May flowers. But there are April showers to be had. How many of you love spring? Do you love spring? I love spring, especially as it gets later on into spring. But springtime means I'm going to have an umbrella. Springtime means once in a while I'm going to have a raincoat. If things get really bad, I'm going to wear a rain poncho, because it can get really bad here sometimes. Isn't it amazing? Indiana doesn't have these nice, gentle rains that just sort of come. Indiana has deluges that just pour forth out of the sky. But the truth of the matter is, you won't have the beauty of spring without the rain of spring. Every season has its negatives. Summer, oh, Pastor Ronnie, now you're talking. Summertime, oh, sunshine every day. Well, I hope not. That's called drought. The truth is that the way we're so fickle, when the summer sunshine comes, we will then complain about the heat and the... Come on, we're... I don't know what you all just said. We're going to complain about the heat and the humidity. Okay, well, Pastor Monty, but summer's a positive season. What about fall time? Fall time. Oh, how many love fall? Do you love the fall? Oh, I do. Look at all those hands. I do. You know why? Because of the beautiful kind of sunny days we have that are warmish but not too warm. That humidity kind of goes away. We have some cool nights, and all of a sudden, it seems like the Lord himself paints every leaf with crimson, red, and hues of the whole thing. It's gorgeous. It's stunning. The sky is so blue in the fall, and the sun is so bright and wonderful. For 2 weeks. And then you're raking leaves. Our new house, our new property has lots of trees. I have had to up my ante as far as weaponry against leaves. Oh, the little battery-powered leaf blower is not cutting it out at Jetto Lake. That battery blows up before you get off the driveway. So I've upped it. I've upped it to a backpack. That's cool. You know the Ghostbusters variety of leaf blower? How many know what I'm talking about, you worldly people? You. And fire that thing up. It's so loud you have to wear some kind of ear protection. By the way, that is the kind of power equipment to own. So loud you have to wear ear protection or go deaf trying. You blow those leaves away. But that's the negative. There's a negative in every season of life. Winter, oh, some... I don't think there's many in here that would say winter is their favorite season. I've met some people like that. Those people are always on the edge of being confined to a stress center. I've met some people like that. Well, Pastor Monty, the snow is so beautiful, and it all comes down. It's all so soft and fluffy white. And then until you have to scrape it off your car or scrape the frost off the window. Here's what I'm suggesting. From the Bible, there is positive and negative in every season. If I spend my life wishing for a former time or spend my life dreaming about a better time, I have missed everything of the beauty of this time. Oh, but Pastor Monty, you said there's going to be negatives. If I focus on those negatives in attempting to resist them or to deny them rather than embrace them, my emotional effort and energy will be focused in a wrong place because there are many changes that I cannot affect. It is best for me to recognize that every season has problems, to embrace the negatives, expect them. They're part of the season. Understanding this... Blessing and hardship, joy and sorrow, good and bad in all of the seasons of life, none of those things is mutually exclusive. Because what did Solomon say? There's a time to be born. There is a time to die. There are positives and there are negatives throughout the seasons of life. I'm suggesting that rather than weighing all of these things and hope for something better in the future or reminisce about something in the past, we should embrace the present moment. Don't romanticize the past. Don't fantasize about the future. It's interesting, as we age, I think we tend to enjoy simple things in life more. Every season has its problems, but may I say that every season has its beauty. We already looked at the passage and you saw positives and negatives. Look for beauty in spite of negatives. The other day, it's been nicer weather. As it's been nicer weather, my mother has been eager to go outside and to take little walks. And so we were walking down the driveway. It was yesterday. We were walking down the driveway, and the sunshine was so bright and beautiful. And I hold her hand. She uses a cane in her right hand. I hold her left hand and my right hand as we walk together. And the thought occurred to me that now I hold her hand just the way she held my hand as a child. That thought occurred to me. I'll be honest, it brought a tear to my eye to think about that. You hold people's hand differently. When Kelly and I were dating, we held hands and nothing more. I wouldn't want anyone's imagination to run wild. It's Sunday morning. But there's a holding of hands that takes place in that romantic context that is different. When your children were small, you'd hold their hand to cross the street. You probably remember getting them into that habit and then approaching a corner somewhere and forgetting to reach down and grab that little hand. And that little hand came up and slipped in your big hand right at that corner, right at the last second. You probably remember that happening. That was a protective way to hold hands. I remember my mother, when I was a boy, would take myself and my brother out on these long walks, and sometimes she would just hold our hand, or if we were going to cross a little footbridge, and those were the days before anything was handicapped accessible, and they didn't have railings on everything, and they didn't fence things in that were dangerous, because we, back in those days, we just liked to live right on the ragged edge, and so we didn't have that. And I remember my mother holding my hand in a sense of security. And I thought how yesterday I held my mother's hand in that precisely same way. We say, Pastor, why do you hold her hand like that? Because she might fall, she might trip. I'm right there. You say, well, that's sad, because don't you remember a time when your mother was very vigorous and would never have needed her hand to be held for a simple walk? Oh, yes, I do. And there might be a twinge of sorrow attached to that. I think I certainly felt that yesterday. But there's also a certain beauty in it. There was the beauty in fulfilling my responsibility now to be her protector, the one that watches out for her. There was a beauty in it because I couldn't walk quickly. I couldn't walk fast. There's a beauty in it because the sky was so blue yesterday and the sun was so bright, and it just sort of made everything, all the colors, more brilliant. We walked down the driveway, we took a right, went to the mailbox, got the mail in. We were coming back to the driveway, I was about to take a left, and my mother paused and she said, I need to go over there and see those trees. There's a beautiful line of white pines on the road leading into the development. And so I walked my mother over there, and she just stood near those white pines, and she breathed in the air of the white pine. Something, frankly, that had I been walking past it at a quick pace, I never would have noticed. And my mother said, she said, smell that. She said, isn't that beautiful? She said, I just love those pines. I love those pines. She caused me to stop and to see the beauty in something that I otherwise would have missed. There are some negatives in regard to old age, but may I say something? There's some real beauty in regard to it, too. If we're going to embrace the period of time, the season of life in which we live, we have to look for the beauty among the negatives. Oh, Pastor, it's more responsibility. It's more busyness. Oh, I know. Kelly's been out of town this weekend, and she has been visiting our son, who's in the Air Force. She's been visiting in Missouri. She's been out of town, so I've been handling it all. Are you proud of me, church? You ought to be. I actually put a load of wash in the washing machine, and I figured out how to use the dishwasher. I really did. That I figured out some time ago. Someone said, Pastor, someone criticized me when I mentioned this. They said, what do you mean you don't know how to use a dishwasher? Of course I don't. I married one. What do you... Woo! Oh. I just woke up the congregation. Somebody call the PC police. I need to be arrested and incarcerated right now. Just joking. Yesterday, last evening, I was thinking, what am I going to have fix Mom and myself for supper? That's a problem, because I don't know what to do about that. So I got to looking around. Well, there's bread, there's cheese. That means grilled cheese sandwiches. I got to looking around. There's cans of soup. There wasn't two cans of the same, but there were two cans that were close, and so I just mixed them all together, you know. didn't seem like such a bad idea at the time. It was a little weird, as it turned out. I made grilled cheese sandwiches. By the way, may I make a suggestion to the congregation? You say, Pastor Monty, I want to learn something coming to church. Okay, you make a grilled cheese sandwich. On the outside of the bread that's going to go onto the frying pan, put mayonnaise. Slather mayonnaise on the outside of the bread. How many know what I'm talking about? Old school, yep. That will make them golden brown. You will never fix a grilled cheese sandwich again the old-fashioned way. It is old-fashioned. Just put some mayonnaise on it. You'll be happy. I did that, and then we sat down together. I fixed a little plate for Mom and fixed a little plate for myself, and we sat down together, and my mind went back to the myriad of meals that my mother fixed for me. It just struck me that now I'm preparing a plate for her, that what she's going to have to eat is really based upon what I'm doing at this moment. And it struck me. He said, Pastor, you know, it's hard to watch someone get old and lose some of their abilities. It may be, but there's a certain beauty in it. There's a certain fulfillment in doing for her what she did for me. I'm suggesting that in every season of life, no matter what the negatives are in that season, there are some positives. We look for beauty in spite of the negatives. Oh, Pastor Money, I wish I were young again. I'd have so much vigor. Yeah. And then you'd be stupid again. Because that is the stupid end of life. Well, Pastor Monty, I'm excited. I'm young, married, and boy, I can't wait to have this big family. We're gonna have a quiver full of kids. Oh, I know you're so excited about it. And you know what you're gonna find out? It's work. It's work. It's responsibility. Well, finally, I've reached middle age and I've accomplished an awful lot. But can I suggest something to you? By the time you reach middle age, you can look at your accomplishments, and it's wonderful. You can also look back on some failures. Anyone who gets to middle age can do the same thing. Is everyone watching how there's positive and negative in all the seasons of life? In old age, what's good about that? Wisdom is good about that. Mellowing, how many know what it is to mellow? That's good sometimes. Mellowing. What about memory? Pastor Monty, you know, my memory's fading. Okay, there can be a blessing in that. Can I share this? There can be a blessing. I've seen in my mother's life how there is a blessing. Short-term memory, things that happened yesterday or whatever, she'll not recall most of that. A short-term, even being up a couple years ago, she doesn't recall most of that. But sometimes when we sit together, it's just she and I sitting, we talk about things, and Mom all of a sudden goes back 40 or 50 years. She starts describing things and telling stories as if they just happened yesterday. And that lengthy memory has flooded my soul with a richness and an understanding of what it was like for her when she was my age, or what it was like for her when she was younger. So even the fade of memory, there can be something positive there. But old age does tend to bring illness and sickness. Oh, Pastor Monty, that's why I'm going to drink carrot juice for the rest of my life. Oh, okay, okay. Okay, I wish you well. You will turn orange. You will look like Donald Trump. You will turn orange. You will turn orange. And I'm not sure it's so sure it's going to solve all the problems, but I'm suggesting every season of life has its problems. Every season of life, though, has its beauty, regardless of the negatives. By the way, did you know some of the positives come with negatives? Did you know, a time to be born! Oh, what could be negative about that? Diapers. Diapers. Now, let me say, gentlemen, husbands, young married with new kids, the right kind of man will not mind changing the baby's diaper. And the right kind of wife won't let him. Let's just move on. A time to plant. That's always exciting. A time to plant, followed very quickly by a time to pull weeds. Most of us don't like that. Planting is positive, weeds are negative. A time to heal. Pastor Mike, it's time to heal. And then I have to move into the world of medical, what I call the corn maze of medical treatment sometimes. That can be a scary experience. A time to build up. What does that mean? It means work and responsibility and business. Even the positives carry negatives. Listen carefully. And it was designed by God that way. Look at verse 11. We haven't read the verse yet. It was designed by God. The Bible says, He, speaking of God, hath made everything beautiful in His time. Everything. Well, Pastor, we just went through the positives and the negatives. Solomon gave them to us, didn't he, in the first 10 verses? But then he summarizes with his great wisdom and says, everything is beautiful in His time. The thing that brought us tears, the thing that caused our heart to tremble and to fear, the thing that gave us anxiety, that negative circumstance, He, God, hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, there is a curiosity about this world that will never be satisfied because we will never plumb the depths of how God did something. Science is remarkable, isn't it? Wonderful. Modern science, wonderful and remarkable. Modern science has yet to scratch the surface of knowledge regarding the creation of God. This world that God made in six literal days, that scientific knowledge, as great as it may be, has yet to scratch the surface. He says, God doeth it, note these words, that men, I'm dropping down to verse 12. Look at verse 12. That's verse 12. I know, Solomon said, that there is no good in them in the days of man, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Isn't that excellent advice? To rejoice even in the midst of sorrow. Rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. That's very simple, isn't it? I think Solomon there is pointing to enjoyment of the simple pleasures, the simple things of life, understanding it is the gift of God. And then verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. I want to suggest that in every season of life, there is a divine sovereignty. That in entering the season, we may not see or understand. But coming to the end of life, we can look back and say, God orchestrated it all, and He did it for my good. Pastor Monty, I'm near the end of life, and there are certain things that happen in my life that I just can't see any rhyme nor reason for those things. Then for you, the Apostle Paul said these words, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. One day every question will be answered to the praise and glory of God, to the singing hallelujah of a heavenly angelic host, to the gratefulness in our heart that it was our God who does all things well. What about today? Embrace it. Love it. Don't long for yesteryear and don't fantasize and dream about tomorrow. Just say, thank you, God, for what you've given me this day, right now. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the wisdom of Solomon that speaks so poignantly to us today, explaining that life is many, many seasons, mixed with good and bad, and all of it to be embraced, not to be resisted or fought against, for that exhausts the emotion. But Lord, to embrace the good and the bad, the joy and the sorrow, the pleasure and the pain, to simply embrace it and to do our best in love and service for you. Father, I pray if any have come and they do not know Christ as Savior, that they would come to know him, that they might have this eternal aspect, and Father, that they might know that eternity in heaven is theirs through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless, I pray, this thought in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please, everyone standing together. We'll sing our hymn, Just As I Am. It is a hymn of invitation. The hymn of invitation is designed for you to respond to the message that you've heard this morning. Perhaps you've come our way and you'd say, Pastor Monty, I don't know for sure that I'm a Christian. I don't know where I stand with the Lord. Solomon said that everything that God does, it will be forever. Nothing can be added to it nor put from it.